You're six. Forgetting all the lessons in decorum she had ever received, Annie shrieked, jumped to her feet, and threw herself at Liam. Surprised, the young man staggered and dropped his sword in the dirt. "I am so happy to see you!" Annie exclaimed, wrapping her arms around him.
Yes, I'm happy to see you too."
Liam didn't seem to know what to do. He stood there, stiff and uncomfortable, looking down at the princess's face beaming up at him. It took a moment for Annie to notice just how uncomfortable he looked. Suddenly self-conscious, she let go and took a step back, grateful that it was too dark for him to see the blush reddening her cheeks.
"How did you find me?" she asked, straightening her rumpled clothes.
"I came across your trail in the woods outside the castle."
"So you came after me?"
Liam nodded.
"I have a knack for tracking. I couldn't just let my princess go wandering around in the woods all by herself."
"I'm your princess now?" Annie asked, a warm feeling starting in the pit of her stomach.
"You became my princess when I took an oath as a royal guard. Nothing can change that," said Liam. "What happened back there anyway? I'd gone into town on an errand for Captain Sterling, and by the time I came back, a thicket of roses had grown up around the castle. I tried to hack my way through, but it was impossible."
"It was Gwendolyn's curse. She touched a spinning wheel even after we were so careful to keep them out."
"I thought it was something like that. From what I could see, the guards weren't patrolling the parapets or standing by the gate. I don't know much about roses, but those were obviously the magical kind. Were you inside when it happened?"
"I was in the room with Gwendolyn and her ladies. Everyone is fine, but unless we can break the curse, they'll be asleep for 100 years.
"You're still awake because of that whole thing about you and magic, aren't you? The other guards were talking about it after you found that witch with the spinning wheel. They said that magic can't touch you."
Annie sighed. "No, but it was awful seeing everyone else fall asleep. I didn't know what to do, so I woke my mother long enough to ask for her advice. I'm on my way to Shimshi to get Prince Digby. He just needs to kiss Gwenny and everyone will wake up."
"You do realize that you're nowhere near the road to Shimshi?"
"I was afraid of that. I got lost yesterday and came across a cottage where this horrible woman lived."
Annie yawned, covering her mouth with her hand. She was so tired that her eyes were watering.
"You need to rest," Liam said.
Shrugging out of the straps that held a sack on his back, he pulled out a thin blanket and spread it on the ground.
"There were 2 children, Annie murmured as Liam led her to the blanket.
"And a rat. The old woman thought it was a dog, and then there were fairies." "In the cottage?" asked Liam.
Annie curled up on the blanket and tucked her hands beneath her cheek.
"No, in the ring," she mumbled. "And then they got mad and the bear came."
"And then what happened?"
Liam asked as he settled on the ground with his back against a tree and his sword on his lap. Annie didn't answer. She'd fallen asleep, feeling safe for the first time since her sister had touched the spinning wheel. When Annie woke the next morning, Liam was sitting with his back against the tree with his eyes closed, a knife in his hand, and the sword balanced on his knees. She sat up and rubbed the grit from her eyes, pleased that he was really there and hadn't been a dream. Although she hadn't known Liam for long, he was someone from home and therefore familiar. His presence made Annie feel more secure and a little less worried about her trip to Shimshi. Moving as quietly as she could so she wouldn't wake him, she tiptoed away from the blanket, looking for privacy behind some shrubs. She hadn't gone far when she thought she saw something glinting between the leaves of a river birch. Only a few steps farther, and she saw a lake with the early morning sunlight sparkling on its surface. After making use of the shrubs,
Annie went down to the lake to splash water on her face. She was still bending over the water when the reflection of a horse appeared behind her. Annie sat back on her heels, surprised that she hadn't heard the animal approach. When the beast pawed the ground, Annie jumped up and backed away. It was a handsome animal with a long, curved neck and a well-shaped head, but its eyes had a fierce look to them, and she could just make out the faint twanging sound of unfriendly magic. The horse reached toward her with its head and bumped her on the shoulder. Annie took another step back. The sound had grown louder with the horse's touch, and Annie knew that it was trying to use its magic to make her do something. "Oh, no, you don't," Annie said. Her gaze fell on a big stick, and she reached for it, even as the horse took another step toward her, its ears flicking with interest. Brandishing the stick in front of her, Annie walked away from the lake, careful to keep her eyes on the horse. When it saw that she was getting away, the horse put its ears back and trotted after her. She dodged out of the way when it opened its mouth and lunged, trying to bite her. In that instant, Annie saw that its teeth weren't blunt like a horse's, but sharp and pointed like a carnivore's. "You're not a horse," Annie exclaimed, wielding the stick. "You're a kelpie. I'm not going anywhere with you. Get away from me, you nasty beast! You're not carrying me to your lake to drown me!" "Annie, is that you?" Liam called from farther in the forest. "Stay right there. I'll come to you." The kelpie's head swung around at the sound of Liam's voice. Afraid that the beast would try to go after the young guard, Annie shouted and ran at it with the stick. The kelpie reared and struck out with its forelegs so that she had to back away, then galloped past her, moving between the trees as easily as if on an open road. Annie chased after it, dodging branches and roots. By the time she got there, the kelpie was already facing Liam. "Don't!" Annie cried, as Liam reached a hand toward the kelpie. Before she could get closer, the animal knelt beside the young man. In one smooth movement, Liam vaulted onto the kelpie's back. "Liam, no!" Annie shouted, still running toward him. Liam grinned and offered her his hand. "Come here, Annie. I'll help you up. I have a ride for us. We'll get to Shimshi in no time now." "Get off, Liam!" Annie shouted as the animal wheeled around and started back toward the lake. "It's not a horse. It's a kelpie." Startled, Liam looked like he was trying to dismount. But before he could swing his leg over the kelpie's side, the beast began to gallop. Annie started to run after them and tripped over something on the ground. Liam's pack was lying where he'd left it, along with his sword and knife. He was defenseless, and unless she did something fast, he was going to drown. Ignoring the lash of the twigs on her face, Annie followed the kelpie to the lake. She ran as fast as she could, but the kelpie had already entered the lake when she arrived. Galloping through the shallow water, it began swimming once the water reached its chest. Annie could see that Liam was still struggling to get off. The kelpie's magic was holding him on, however, and both man and beast had begun to sink beneath the surface. Kicking off her shoes, Annie waded to the deeper water and dove in headfirst. "Get back!" Liam shouted as he struggled to hold his head above the surface. Annie swam faster, reaching out toward Liam with one hand, then the other, in sure, steady strokes. She lost sight of him when the kelpie completely submerged, but when she ducked her head and looked around, she spotted the kelpie only yards away. She swam toward it. The kelpie saw her and struck out with its hooves, catching her with a glancing blow that spun her around in the water and left her dazed, disoriented, and out of air. Annie surfaced long enough to get a breath before diving again. She saw the kelpie swimming toward the edge of a drop-off. Liam was trying to dismount, but the beast's magic kept him on its back as surely as if he'd been glued there. Annie could tell that he was struggling for air and was beginning to look frantic. Afraid that she would lose Liam for good if they reached the deeper water, Annie swam as fast as she could, reaching them just as the beast was about to plunge over the edge. A few more quick strokes, and she grasped the Kelpie's flowing tail, which she used to pull herself closer. The Kelpie spun around and snapped at Annie. Grabbing a fistful of its mane, she used the momentum of its next lunge to pull herself up and flip over its back, landing in front of Liam. When he didn't seem to notice her, Annie feared she might already have lost him. It took only seconds for Annie's presence to affect the Kelpie. At first, it twisted its neck and tried to snap at her, but then it faltered and shook its head as if something was wrong. Showing the whites of its eyes, it suddenly began to act as if it, too, were running out of air. With two powerful kicks, the Kelpie surfaced. It was gasping for air, its nostrils flaring, when Annie pulled Liam from its back. Although his feeble flailing made it harder to swim while dragging him, Annie was just happy that he was alive. When his flailing became strong enough to drag them both under the water, however, she began to lose patience with him. "Stop struggling or I'll have to knock you out," Annie told him, even though she doubted that she could carry through with such a threat. For one thing, they were too far from shore, and there was nothing to use.
"Let go," said Liam. "You don't need to rescue me. I can swim."
"I'm sure you can," said Annie, "but you're weak as a kitten now. I told you, stop flailing." Suddenly, Liam went limp and became a dead weight in her arms. Annie shook him, worried that the Kelpie might have given him a serious injury that hadn't been fatal until now. "Are you all right?" she asked.
"You told me to stop moving, so I did," said Liam, grinning up at her.
Annie let him go for a fraction of a second. His face went under, and when he came back up, he sputtered and spit out a mouthful of water.
"If you're rescuing me, would you mind not dunking me like that?"
"Sorry, I had to change arms. You're no lightweight, you know."
"I'm fine now. You can let go."
"Okay." Annie let go, and Liam sank, but he didn't go far. They had reached the shallow water, and he hit the sandy bottom as soon as he kicked his feet. She smiled when he gave her a reproachful look and glanced back toward the middle of the lake. "You can stand, can't you? The Kelpie is looking this way." Liam scrambled to his feet and staggered with his first step. Taking his hand, Annie helped him out of the water. Satisfied that the Kelpie wasn't following them, they trudged back to the campsite to collect their things. Although their clothes were dripping wet, the air was already warm, and Annie wasn't cold. "Do you want to rest or change your clothes?" she asked. Liam shook his head.
"I should be asking you that. Do you have a change of clothes with you?"
"Just an old gown. I wouldn't want to try walking through a forest in it. The ham would snag on everything." "It's warm enough that this should dry pretty quickly, though," Annie added, squeezing the water from a sodden sleeve. She glanced up and saw that Liam was scowling down at the ground where his sword and knife still rested. "What's wrong?"
"I can't believe that Kelpie fooled me like that. I've never gotten on a strange horse that just walked up to me before. And I left my knife. I really could have used that knife."
"It was part of the Kelpie's magic to make you want to get on its back. The Kelpie tried it on me first, but it didn't work."
"Huh," Liam grunted. "And that's supposed to make me feel better? You stood up to it and I hopped right on."
"All I was saying was that its magic couldn't affect me. I probably would have gotten on too, if I'd been a normal person."
"Say, that's right," Liam said, his expression brightening.
He bent down to gather his weapons. When he stood up, he was scowling again.
"You shouldn't have done it, you know. Chasing after a Kelpie could have gotten you killed. You don't have magic to keep you safe."
"Neither do you," said Annie. "And if I hadn't gone after that Kelpie, you would have been killed. You know, instead of being rude, you could just thank me for rescuing you." thanks, Liam said, in a begrudging kind of way.
But you still shouldn't have done it.
Annie frowned and turned her back to him as she shouldered her sack. Closing the distance between them in three long strides, Annie reached out and gripped her shoulder, turning her to face him.
No, I really do mean it. Thanks. Most people wouldn't have tried to help me like that.
He flashed Annie a quick smile, which made him look younger, and tugged at her heart in an unexpected way. She found herself wanting to see his smile again. Annie looked into his eyes and nodded slowly.
You're welcome.
The road is in that direction, Liam said, pointing behind her.
He led the way into the woods, stopping to hold branches so they wouldn't hit Annie, and offering her his hand when they climbed steep hills or crossed streams with slippery rocks. Annie found his thoughtfulness touching. When she was younger, she'd often played in the woods with pages and stable boys who'd treated her like just another boy. It also made her wonder about something he'd said earlier.
Did you really mean it when you said that most people wouldn't have tried to help you? What about your family?
My family knows I can take care of myself because, well, usually I can. My father always expected me to, because he made sure I knew how. Most people don't know a fraction of what he does about weapons. He taught me everything I know about them, and see this? He gave me this sword when I was 8 years old. It was too big for me then, but he was so proud when I finally learned how to use it. My father is old now and hasn't been able to do much ever since his horse threw him. It was a few years ago, but his leg never healed right, and he has days now where he is in so much pain that he can't do much of anything.
What about the rest of your family?
I've never gotten along with my mother or my brother. It wouldn't occur to either of them to help me, even if I was on fire and they were standing next to me with a bucket of water. My brother was always my mother's favorite, and I... Wow, I can't believe I just told you all that. I've never told anyone about my family before.
It's okay, said Annie.
You know about my family already. Your family can't be any worse than mine.
They'd been walking for little more than an hour when they stepped onto a hard-beaten path.
Here we are, said Liam. This is the road I was telling you about.
It isn't much of a road. Are you sure it's not a deer trail?
It gets better farther on. I told you, I'm really good at tracking. Directions, too. I've been this way before with my father. It was years ago, but I doubt things have changed much.
How far are we from Shimshi? Annie asked.
I'm not sure exactly where we are on the road, but there should be a sign up ahead with the distance posted on it.
It wasn't long before the road grew wider and had fewer rocks to trip them, and they soon emerged from the forest onto rolling farmland dotted with small, clear water lakes. They didn't see any signs until they reached a crossroad and found two of them nailed to a tall post. The sign on the top was old and had two arrows, one pointing to the left and one to the right. The faded writing on the arrow that pointed to the left read, Kingdom of Shimshi, 12 miles. The arrow pointing to the right read, Gallfield, 5 miles. Under the arrows, someone had posted another sign that had been painted with fancy curlicues and flourishes. The sign read,
Hear ye, hear ye. Prince Andreas of Coriolis is holding a contest to find the perfect princess to be his wife. The contest will be held at the royal castle near the village of Gallfield for the next 2 days. Any unmarried princesses may enter.
Annie was reading the sign for the third time when Liam pointed to the left.
Look, Shimshi is this way.
Annie sighed. I know. We have to go find Digby.
Too bad,
she said, as she turned to follow Liam.